Good evening. If you got your Bible, turn it open to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Just a moment, we'll turn and read from a passage there. I want to say thank you to everyone for coming out tonight, especially those that were teaching, especially those that were participating in Bible class. A lot of good comments that were made. And definitely always a pleasure to be out with you. Have you ever wanted to do something important in life, but maybe there was an obstacle in your way that hindered you from being able to accomplish what you set out to do? Been thinking a lot lately how this comes into play in our lives. You know, sometimes many of us have a desire to start a new career or go down a different path than what we originally set out to do, but ultimately we don't get to where we want to go. Maybe there's some health concerns that you might have. You want to go down a certain path, but something's hindering and getting in your way. Or maybe you want to mend a broken relationship, maybe to fix something, reconcile something, but again, something is hindering you. Something's from getting you in your way. And that might be doubt, might be fear, might be uncertainty. There's just something holding you up. And while careers are important, family and broken relationships and mending those can be important, while your health may be of some value, I think the same thing can be true in our faith. Maybe there's some folks in the audience this evening that have not obeyed the gospel, and something is stopping you. Something's hindering you from making that decision. And maybe there are many of you in this audience tonight, I know, that have made that commitment, have obeyed the gospel. But maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel complacent. Maybe you feel like you're not honoring up or living up to the commitment or struggling to stay faithful. What's hindering you, stopping you from doing that? And so two questions for you. What's hindering you from obeying the gospel? Two, what's hindering you from progressing in your faith? I want you to think about that as we read this passage. And in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, we're about to go into context of the Ethiopian eunuch. Many of us familiar with this passage. Some of us maybe first time we're coming across this. That's okay. The Ethiopian eunuch is a person who had every reason to be hindered. He was wealthy. He had great responsibility. He was even a religious person. But he encountered Christ, and he didn't let anything hold him back. And we're about to see that in just a moment. So, beginning in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem, and he was sitting in his chariot on his way home and reading the prophet Isaiah out aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join that chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about? Is it himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me? What would hinder me? What's stopping me," other translations say, "from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Just a couple of thoughts and observations from what we just read this evening, and just want you to reflect on this a little bit, even as we go beyond this evening. But one, I want to make it clear that when we encounter the gospel is calling everyone to some form of truth. It's calling us to the truth, the only truth. And when we encounter Jesus, when we read Scripture, we see that not only are we reading truth, but it's calling us to essentially desire more. And when I look at the Ethiopian eunuch, this was a man who was reading Scripture, who was religious, but it was asking him for more, and that more led to Christ. And I just don't ever want us to get into a place in our lives, either if we've not obeyed the gospel or if we have, or we feel like we've learned everything. Stop, don't reach a point in your life where you feel like you've got it all together, because ultimately the truth demands more. There's still more we can learn. There's still more that we can understand. There's still more that we can do to apply this and incorporate it in our life. But the other thing I want us to consider for just a moment, too, is God sent Philip on an important mission here. And don't negate that aspect that God might be using you. And we sing a song in our hymnal, and Matthew brings this up a lot, that the song is, "We may be the only Bible that the world sees." They may not ever pick up a Bible. They may not ever read a scripture. But because of the interactions that you have with them and how you live out the gospel, it might be the only Bible they ever see. And I guess what I would ask you tonight is, what's hindering you from really truly carrying out the gospel in a way that is, you know, that folks, when they see you, they see Jesus. And when they see you, they see truth in a way that leads them to Christ. What's hindering you from doing that? What's hindering you from letting God use you in a capacity that helps bring others to Christ? And so the other thing I would point out in this, and last thing I'll leave you with, is how quickly the gospel would demand obedience. You have an important decision to make. Whenever you encounter the scripture, whenever you encounter Christ, you're either going to make a decision to accept him or you're going to make a decision to reject him. And when I look at the eunuch, I'm always encouraged by how immediate his response was. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't put it off for later. He didn't, hesitate. It was, "Here's water. What's stopping me from getting it? What's stopping me from washing my sins clean?" And so I ask you tonight, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what's stopping you from doing so right now? What's stopping you from doing that? And two, if you have obeyed, what's hindering you from really fully living out your commitment to Christ, making sure that we not only are being and remaining faithful to him, but what's stopping you from living up to the commitment that you've made? Let's stand and sing.